Shabbat Shalom, everybody.
Shabbat Shalom, man of God.
This week's portion is Messiah, or Journeys. And it comes from Numbers chapter 33:1 through 36:13. The Haftorah portion is Jeremiah chapter 2, verses 4 through 28, and chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. And the apostolic portion is going to be Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 24. And the introduction. The book of Numbers now summarizes the camps of Israel through the wilderness. Their passage was not random, but guided by Elohim. The names of the camps reveal Israel's heart, struggles, wins, and losses. It also shows how Israel fell into idolatry, cursed Moses, and even the land they were about to enter. Through the tests and trials, Elohim continued to present his kingdom lifestyle in ways intended to sanctify Israel so they could enter the promised land. Numbers chapter 33, verses 53 through 56. And you shall take possession of the land and settle in it, for I have given the land to you to possess it. You shall inherit the land by lot according to your clan. To a large tribe, you shall give a large inheritance, and to a small tribe, you shall give a small inheritance. Wherever the lot falls for anyone, that shall be his. According to the tribes of your fathers, you shall inherit it. But if you do not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then those of them whom you let remain shall be as barbs in your eyes and thorns in your sides, and they shall trouble you in the land where you dwell. And I will do to you as I thought to do to them.
Amen.
Now, if you've actually gone through and learned the names of all the places that Israel camped at, each one does have a special name. And you can kind of see what they went through when they stopped at each place. Okay? For example, some of the names that are translated in English, one place meant bitter. Another place meant groves of lust. A third one is fear. And so those are some of the negative things that you see on places that they camp. How many of us have these things in our lives? Okay, at some point in our lives, did we not have some of these things? Do we not have fear in certain situations? Of course we do. All right, a lot of times it's because we don't have direction or we're not told which way to go, so that fear comes up, or we don't know how to handle something or whatnot, so we have the fear. Okay, we also kind of get bitter sometimes, don't we? If things don't go our way or things are hard and just beating us down every week and every day, we tend to get bitter.
Amen.
All right? And that's just the course of life with
yes.
us. Okay? But yet, these that's our life. We have ups and downs. Okay? And so Israel is a perfect picture of that. Okay? Now, on the positive sides of things, there's translation into sweetness. Okay? One of the places they camped at was called sweetness. Another place was fruitfulness. And a third place was holy, or set apart. Those are pretty neat, aren't they? I mean, if you think about it, being fruitful for the Lord, that's pretty awesome.
Yes.
Okay, how about the sweetfulness?
Thank you, Lord.
Man, that sweet aroma, the sweet tasting that people will just like and just enjoy. They enjoy you being around with that. All right? Think of those times when you felt that way on the positive side of things.
Amen.
Okay? That happens in our lives. Maybe when we find a nugget in God's Word and we stand up and we start dancing because we're so happy we just found something.
Amen.
That's sweet.
Yes.
Right? You're like, yes, this is awesome. And you want to tell everybody and you're so excited and you're like, yeah. And then you tell them and they don't get it and you're like, right? No, that doesn't happen to anyone. But we have these ups and downs, right, in our lives. Israel is a perfect example of that.
Yes.
Okay? And so we learn this thing, and we show their hearts. Well, our lifestyles and our lives show our hearts as well. Okay? And this is the thing that we don't seem to look at or want to acknowledge very often. Okay? It's our lifestyles that show what we believe and where our heart's at.
It's a good word, brother.
Okay? And so we have to start learning these things, and we have to start acknowledging the good and the bad.
Yes.
Okay? We have a tendency as humans to say, I'm good. I do this and I do that. I'm a good person. I help. I take all of these things. but we rarely identify the evil inclination that is within us. And as the rabbis teach, there's an evil inclination and a good inclination within us. And those two battle every day, every second. And so sometimes the good side wins and sometimes the bad side wins within us.
Amen.
Okay? Yeah, but we want the good side to win. And we want people to only see that good side. So we have a tendency to just try to highlight that. And we try to say, oh, I'm going to stick that evil stuff under the pillow or under the bed or someplace where they can't see it. Because that's not what we want people to see. But we do have that battle. And it's natural aspects. We have some days we're up in the spirit. Some days we're down. Sometimes we're really studying, sometimes we're not. And it could be seasons. It doesn't just have to be day. It could be months. It could be a year. We go through seasons in our lives, just as Israel did. Okay? In one place, Israel camped for 19 years. In one place, they didn't move for 19 years. Okay? That's being stuck somewhere, don't you think? If you're out in the wilderness, we can get stuck too. Okay? So as Moses is telling the people, this is at the end of the book of Numbers, okay, this is about 40 days before the people of Israel are going to go into Israel. Okay, so he's telling them these things. He's saying, hey, this is where we've gone. This is what we've done. Can you see the work of the Lord over these last 40 years? He's trying to help them. He's trying to show them what they've gone through. He's encouraging them. I mean, think about that. You have almost everybody that was 20 or older at this time had already died. Okay, so now this is a new generation getting ready to go into the land. And so Moses is saying, remember what you went through. Remember what happened to your fathers. Remember the trials. Remember the journeys. Remember the ups. Remember the downs. You see, and come on, be encouraged. He was with us.
Yes.
Because he never left them.
Amen.
He was there by a pillar of clouds during the day and a pillar of fire at night. He never left them. Though a lot of times he says, let me just wipe them off, he tells Moses. Let me just get rid of them. I'll start a new nation with you. Right? But the Lord never left them. Just like he doesn't leave us.
Amen.
We go through ups and downs. He's still there with us. So we have to understand that. Okay? But God tells us in this that you are to drive the inhabitants of the land out. Okay? Now think about this. Israel's been in the desert for 40 years, and now they're getting ready to go in. And what do they see that's in there? They see men, they see women, they see children, and they see giants.
Woo!
Yes, giants.
Yes.
9 feet tall people were in the land that they're about ready to go in. And so do you think they had fear? Do you think they doubted? I mean, come on. I mean, they're human. They're like us, right? Of course they're going to doubt. Of course they're going to have problems. Okay? Yeah, they're going to pull out the sword and say, I'm going to fight this 9 foot tall guy? Oh my goodness. I mean, they all cowered in David's time against the giant, right? And David had his stones.
Amen.
But they still cowered. These are big people. You have to imagine this. I mean, you know, I'm a pretty big person. And I think of a 9 foot person. I mean, I've seen 7 foot five people. And man, I'm small. Add another foot and a half onto that, and man, I would be really small. Okay? And I would feel that way. All right? I mean, that's a big person. And so you have these things. But then you also have the women and children. You have to drive out women and children. Well, where's our compassion? Where's our heart? Can we do that today if God were to ask us to in a certain land? What would the nations think if we did that? What would people all around you think? If you actually followed God's word, like he says in this position, that would be extremely hard, wouldn't it? You mean to tell me I got to kick children out of this land? I got to kick ladies out of this land? I mean, think about it. If we really had to do that, could we? If God said, could we do that? Or would we have too much mercy and compassion and say, no, you know, I think I'm going to let them stay because I'm a nice person. Okay? Well, that comes to the fact, what did God say?
Wow.
You either do what God says or you don't do what God says.
Amen.
There is no in between.
Yes.
Okay? I teach my kids, if God tells me to turn on 100 lights and I turn on 99, did I obey? And the answer is no, I did not, because I didn't turn on 100 lights. It's simple, but we make it so difficult. Well, you did 99, you did a good job. Right? We pat ourselves on the back thinking, yeah, But that's not the way God views it.
Amen, O Lord.
He says, do this.
Yes.
You need to do it.
Yes, Father.
And so he's saying to drive out these people.
Yes.
So this is a good lesson for us, okay, when we think about this. But if we go to the last verse of the portion I just read, okay, and it says, and I will do to you as I thought to do to them. Well, he says that after telling them you're supposed to drive them out. Why would God have to say that? I think God knew that Israel wasn't going to drive out all the inhabitants. Okay, and he already knew it, so he's telling them. He's basically saying, when you don't, I'm going to do this. That's basically what he's saying here. Okay, he knew they weren't going to send them all out. Oh, they got tricked, right? Yeah, they got tricked and made some covenants with people. Oh, yeah, you could work. You could be a wood gatherer for me, and you could be a washer and things like that. They got tricked sometimes. But why are you even talking to the people if you're supposed to drive them out? Okay? Because here's the word. The Hebrew word used here for drive out is yarash. Okay? It comes from the Strong's. It's Strong's Hebrews 34:23. The most common uses of this word are possess, drive, take possession, possessed, and dispossess.
Amen.
Okay? So those are the most common uses of that word. But if you say take possession, that requires action.
Yes.
To dispossess somebody takes basically advancement.
Yes.
You have to be the advancement person to dispossess somebody from a land. So it's something that you have to do. It's not something that's given. You actually have to work for it. You actually have to do things to work them out. Think of it this way. For those of you who bought a new house, you know, or something, or moved into a new house or something like that, all the stuff is out, right, from the last people. Or at least you hope so. That didn't happen with us when we moved into our house. We had to move a lot of stuff out from the people that were there. But most of the time, you move into a new house and there's nothing there that belongs to anyone else, right? They have no reason to come back into your house. They're gone. They've changed their mailing address, so their mail shouldn't even come to you. I mean, they should have no reason to be back at your house, right? Okay. For those of you that have rental properties and you're renting them out, what if the people decide to stay? And you know they haven't paid for 6 months and you're going through the courts and you're trying to evict them, things like that. What do you have to do? Okay, they'll sit there, and sometimes you actually have to go get sheriff's deputies. And the sheriff deputies actually have to physically remove them from the house. And that takes aggression.
Amen.
Okay, you actually have to physically remove them sometimes from that house so that you can take possession of it. Okay, and so there's different things that take place. Like Barb and I, we moved in, we had to move out a whole bunch of stuff that wasn't ours. Okay, and most of the stuff was bad, so it all went straight to the dump. We couldn't get to the dump fast enough with most of the stuff that was in our house because it was abandoned. It was left, nobody lived there for a year and they left their stuff in there. And so we had to clean it out, and that's what we had to do. Then we had to clean it out. We had to remove all the bad stuff, change the carpets, things like that, because it was dirty still. We had to clean it in order for us to be there. Okay? And so these are the things that we have to do. So when you think of a new house, think of driving out inhabitants from the land of Israel. Okay? What were they supposed to do? They were supposed to clean it out. So not only were they supposed to drive out the people, men, women, children, and the giants, they were supposed to tear down all the altars. All the places of pagan worship, they were supposed to tear down and destroy. They weren't supposed to let any of it be there. Okay? Did they?
Sir.
No, they didn't.
Amen.
Okay? They left the altars there.
Yes.
Okay? They left the people there.
Yes.
They really didn't finish the job. And what happened to them when they didn't finish the job?
Absolutely.
Well, the people kept on being a thorn in the side, as it says, right?
Amen.
They just kept bothering them. They kept being an issue. And then what do? They slowly change. And it wasn't Israel changing those people to Israel. It was the nations changing Israel into the nations.
It's good work.
All right. We often go into places and we think, I'm going to change these people. I'm going to save this. And I'm going to show them who's God. And you go in there, and pretty soon, you're just like them.
Yes.
And you didn't change anyone. They changed you.
Amen.
And so it changes our lifestyle when we do things like that. And it's frustrating to see. I try to warn people when they do that, and they don't listen, and then guess what? They're just right in there with them. Okay? And so we don't get the idea of what has to be done. Okay? We have to stand our ground. We have to be that light that brings the moths to us, so to speak. They'll come to us. They see the life that we have. They see the joy that we share. They see our hope. And they say, what do you have that I don't?
Amen.
And then you can start talking.
Thank you, Father.
Until then, they're going to be stuck because they don't see. They don't see what they need. They don't see the difference. And if we're not different, then we look like the nations. So are we going to drive them out? Israel went and possessed their land, you know, 47, right? Did they do the same thing?
No, sir.
Not at all. They were just happy to have the land back.
Amen.
Right? They were just rejoicing. Yeah, this is our land. Woo, let's party, right? And yet, what would still happen? Do you know that when that was decided, there were still skirmishes? They were still fighting after? They were still fighting. They didn't have peace. They didn't have rest. And they still didn't kick them out.
Amen.
They left them there. And they've had peace in Israel now for all those years, haven't they?
No,
sir. No, they haven't. Right? Every day is a mess there. It doesn't just come from the other countries around them shooting rockets into Israel. It comes from actually people inside of Israel.
Amen.
That are causing the problems too. And so you have the situation taking place where Israel didn't do what they were supposed to do, and now they're having a problem. That happens in our lives too.
Yes.
If we don't kick out the things that we need to in our lives, they become problems.
Yes.
They become thorns in our sides. They become problems in our eyes because they prevent us from seeing things. They prevent us from seeing the truth, seeing the dirtiness, or seeing the sin that comes with that kind of stuff. So we have to be very diligent ourselves to remove all those things within us. Now it's an ongoing process, okay? You don't have one day and, it's all done. Woo, all right. I'm clean, right? No, it's an ongoing process. Okay? There are times 5, 6 years later, all of a sudden you say, I thought I was done with this sin. I shouldn't have this problem anymore. Man, it's been awful. But we still have it. And we're like, what's going on? Okay? It's an ongoing process. It's an ongoing fight. It doesn't just happen overnight.
Amen.
But understand, it is a fight.
Yes.
Woo. It is a fight. It's a war
that's
taking place. And we have to understand that. It's not a cakewalk.
Amen.
Okay? And so we are the same way. Now, one of the rabbi's sages from ancient times, Rambam, states, our sages taught, it does not say, quote, the inheritance of the house of Jacob, or, quote, the seed of Jacob, but the congregation of Jacob, to hint that many people will congregate and join them, such that the Torah will forever be an inheritance for Jacob, and all those that congregate to and join them.
Yes.
These are the converts that came to serve Hashem and became part of the house of Jacob. They are called its congregation. Now, why did I say this? Okay? We have to understand that we are brought in to Israel.
Thank you, Lord.
Through Messiah.
Yes.
Okay? And they are now our family. We are part of the commonwealth of Israel.
Amen.
So to speak. Okay? And so we are part of Israel. We believe in Yeshua. We're there. And you don't have to be born into the tribe of Judah, the tribe of Levi. You don't need that. You have faith in Messiah. You are part of Israel.
Thank you, God.
Okay? And so because of that, you have to understand that the Torah is your inheritance.
Yes, O Lord.
Okay? It is for you.
Yes.
Don't give it up.
Amen.
Don't sell it off.
Amen.
Don't think it's of non-importance like Esau did with his inheritance. Right? All right? That's what we do, though. Sometimes our lifestyles get so hectic and so bad that we say, oh, well, I just can't do it right now. I can't follow Torah right now. I got to do this instead. And I'm just being honest with you guys. It happens to all of us.
Yes.
Okay? And so we give up our following Torah because things are too hectic or too scary or too unknown or whatever reason we want to give. We justify it. We do all these different things to not follow Torah, and that's not a good thing.
Amen.
Okay? But understand, we are part of Israel. Yes. The Torah is our inheritance.
Yes.
Okay? And we have to fight for it.
Yes, Lord. Okay?
Jeremiah chapter 2, verses 9 through 13 says, "Therefore, I still contend with you, declares the Lord, and with your children's children I will contend. For cross to the coast of Cyprus and see, or send to Kedar and examine with care. See if there has been such a thing. Has a nation changed its gods, even though they are no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which does not profit. Be appalled, O heavens, at this. Be shocked, be utterly desolate, declares the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water."
Give us a look.
Man, that's kind of like a, whoa, wait a minute here, right?
Yes.
I mean, he's telling us to go look, go see. Has people changed their gods, even though they aren't gods? Okay? People, we have gods in our own lives. We do. It's not, we have the God, but we have little g gods in our lives. And we have to fight against it all day. Our children, we have to fight very hard against things like having your face stuck on a screen the whole time.
Amen.
Okay? Because that screen becomes a god, whether it's a Kindle or a phone or a computer or an iPad or whatever these things are out there, or even a TV anymore. Okay? They've got to have a screen in their face. And so fighting against that is hard because my children go to public school. And what do you think their kids are doing? Their friends and everything. It's always on, well, what's on Facebook? What are you looking up? What are you doing? You know, I've seen kids at the McDonald's sitting there talking to each other on their phones. They're sitting right across from one another and they're using their phones to communicate. Are you kidding me? Right? And they, you know, one would type, yeah, I know. And the other would type, oh, yeah, gotcha. I'm like, what is going on? It's crazy. Right? But this is the world that they live in. So how do you fight against this happening to your kids? Okay? How do we fight it against ourselves? Sometimes adults get right wrapped into that too because, oh, this is neat. This is cool. Oh, look at this. Oh, I got a new toy. Right? I mean, we can still do the same thing. But they are gods because they take away and they distract us from what God wants us to have, and that's called relationships.
Yes.
Okay. We got to have relationships with people, yes. Not screens.
Amen.
Okay. We can't be dating somebody online and be little characters that are out there, and I'm going to be a little squirrel and you're going to be a bunny and we're going to talk on the internet. But they have it out there. You're laughing. But this is what's going on.
Amen.
All right. How is that real? How is that a relationship? It's not. Okay? These things actually take place and they become little g gods. But they're not gods, but we put them and we make them as gods. And so these things are taking place all the time. And so we have to be really watch out for that. But the word I like here, God says, I'm going to contend with you. Not just with them back then, but your children's children. Which means it's for us today. He's still contending for us today. He hasn't stopped. Okay, he's still fighting for us. How do we know that God is still fighting for us? Right? Because sometimes we sit there, where's God? I don't see God moving in my life. I don't see this happening. I don't see that happening. Where's God? But you know what? He's still contending with you. And the way he does that is the first way, he uses the Holy Spirit to convict us. Does he not?
Thank you, O Lord.
If we're sinning, if we're in trouble or whatever, the Holy Spirit's going to convict us because it goes against Torah. See, remember that Torah states that God says, I will put my spirit in you,
yes,
and cause you to walk out the Torah.
Yes.
It's the Holy Spirit that causes you to walk out the Torah. So when you fail to follow Torah, it's going to convict you.
Thank you, O God.
It has to. There is no way it goes anywhere else. So you're going to have the conviction. And where do we get that? In John chapter 16, verse 8, it says, and when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. So he's going to convict us. He's still convicting us. That's how God is contending with us. That's one way. Another way that God contends with us is he's going to discipline us.
Thank you, O Lord.
Okay? Remember, God disciplines those he loves.
Yes.
Right?
Amen.
So if you're not disciplined, are you loved?
No.
That's always a question that you have to throw out, because it doesn't necessarily say, but he says he disciplines those he loves.
Yes, you do, O Lord.
Okay? Because it says in Proverbs 3:12, it says, "For the Lord reproves him whom he loves, as a father the son in whom he delights."
Thank you, O God.
Okay? So God, if he loves you, he's going to discipline you. And I tell Barb a lot, man, God really loves me. Because I'm always getting disciplined. I can't step out of line one way. If I step out just a little bit, God smacks me every single time. Every time. And I know this, and I don't like it. It hurts. I you know, sometimes I even cry. I can't believe it again. What an idiot. Right? But he does. Every single time, he disciplines me. And I see other people going way out. God doesn't do anything. I'm going, that's not fair. Why can he do that? I can't. Come on. And then Barb says, life's not fair. Well, I know that. But God's not particular about who, right? We have all these discussions. All right? But God does discipline me. And he keeps me on a straight and narrow path because I can't sway.
Thank you, oh God.
Okay. And it's because I'm stubborn and I'm hard-headed, just like Israel, he has to do that. Okay? He has to keep me in line. All right? And so he's very good at it. And I'm learning that. Still today. The next thing that God's going to do to contend with us is he's going to test us. He's going to test us. Why do I say that? Because in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2, it says, "And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what is in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not." See, God knows what's in our hearts.
Amen.
Okay? And he says it's evil, beyond evil. Who can know it?
That is true, O Lord.
Okay? He knows our hearts. He does. We don't know our hearts.
Amen.
Okay? We go back to what I was saying earlier. We have this evil inclination and a good inclination fighting against one another. And we hide the good evil and we showcase the good, right? But we don't know our own hearts. So God tests us to know our hearts.
Thank
because
you,
he's showing us where our hearts are.
Yes.
Okay? But do you not see why you're tested? It's to whether or not you keep his commandments. Whether or not you keep his commandments. Now, this is the key, and I started talking about it a little bit earlier. Our commitment to God doesn't waver when it comes in conflict with our lifestyle. Do we choose our current lifestyle over the Word of God? Or do we choose the Word of God and stop doing our lifestyle? These are things that we do. All of us sitting here, well, almost all of us, we started out in what? Sunday church, right? Okay, we came to the understanding of, oh, you got to have a holy convocation on Shabbat, so here we are. Right? So we started to learn. So we made that lifestyle change. But it took a change. Okay, a lot of us did Easter and Christmas and all that. And now we learned what those were all about. We're like, well, we can't do that anymore. So now I've changed our lifestyles, and we do what? We do Passover. We do Yom Kippur. We do the biblical feast days because we've changed. We've changed our lifestyles. But how many people have you seen come into the community here and not want to give up Christmas or Easter?
Amen.
And they leave here and they go right back to the church because they didn't want to change their lifestyle, even though the truth was presented to them. Okay. Did their lifestyle win out? Or did the Word of God win out? And I would tell you it was a lifestyle.
Yes.
They wanted to keep the lifestyle.
Yes.
Instead of follow the Word of God. Amen. Now, do we also do that with promotions for our jobs? If somebody comes, Paul, I'm going to pay you, $10 more an hour if you work Saturdays. What am I going to do? What am I going to say? Am I going to say, well, sure, I'll take the promotion and get more money and work Saturdays? Or am I going to say, no, Shabbat is Saturday, I cannot work, the Lord says. I'm being challenged because of what's being presented to me. Which one is going to win out? or worse yet, your family members. Okay? This one, Barb and I know well. Okay? You know, my parents first thought when I started this that I was in a cult. You know? You're what? You're doing what? What's Messianic Judaism? What, is that a cult? You know, I mean, this is what they were saying. You don't celebrate Christmas anymore? That's blasphemy. You know, you don't love God. You know, and all these things come down and they question you and they're saying, what are you doing? Right? And so am I going to give up my lifestyle? You're right, Mom. You're right. I'm going to go back to Christmas. Do we let our family members pull us back into what we know is not of God? Or do we continue walking the path?
Move forward.
These are questions that we have to ask ourselves, and these are our commitments.
Amen.
These are tests in our lives to see whether we will follow the commandments of God or not.
Good word, brother.
Okay? And they're hard.
Yes.
And they hurt.
Yes.
And we don't like them, and it causes stresses in relationships. It even can separate families. Because Yeshua says, I didn't come to unite.
Amen.
But daughter-in-law and mother-in-law are going to have problems, and brothers and all these things, they're going to have problems.
Yes.
All right? And that's what he's come to do.
Yes.
Okay? He's dividing using the word of God.
Yes, Lord.
Are you going to follow God or are you not? Which one? And those are the tests. And this is how he contends for us. Because if you love God, what are you going to do?
Okay.
You're going to follow his teaching. You're going to do what he says. You're going to try to make him look good, right? I mean, a son that wants to please his father, what does he do? He sits there and he does what he can. He's going to do the best yard mowing that he can possibly do. He's going to make that grass look really good because he wants his father to be proud of him.
Yes.
Okay? That's how we are. We should be with God.
Amen.
We want God to be proud of us. Right? So we are going to work hard to do what he asks us to do. And do it the right way.
Yes.
Now, we don't know how to follow Torah exactly.
Amen.
We do the best we can.
Yes.
Okay? But it's kind of like practice. All right? We come here, we get one day a week, every week, to practice Shabbat.
Thank you, Lord.
Isn't that awesome?
Yes.
Because when he comes back, he's going to show us really how to do it.
Amen.
All right? How awesome is that?
Yes.
All right? But we get to practice it now.
Thank you, Lord.
And so we'll improve and we'll get better. The more we do it, the more we'll understand what brings life.
Yes.
Because God is about life.
Life.
Not death.
Amen.
Okay, he wants us to live and live abundantly.
Live abundantly.
He wants us to be healed. He wants us to be encouraged and strengthened. And this is what he wants from us.
Yes.
All right? And following his Torah is what does it.
Amen.
Okay? If we go to 2 Corinthians 11:3, it says, but I'm afraid, lest, as the serpent deceived Hava by his trickery, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Messiah. Now people think, oh yeah, it's so easy to be a Messiah. Just believe and you can do whatever you want. Right? That's pretty much the common message in any denomination. Do it our way or do it, you know, or you can leave and find somebody else if you want. But, you know, it's okay. As long as you believe in Jesus, you're good. Yeah, you got your fire insurance. Okay? That's not true. That is not biblical. Though I would love to have fire insurance. I mean, don't get me wrong. And I do, through Yeshua and belief in him, I will be spared that. Okay? But we have to understand, it's not what it's all about. That's just the beginning.
Amen.
Okay? And so we are to just follow through, and we're to love the Lord by following his commandments. Because he tells us, this is how I want to be loved.
Yes.
Do it this way and you show your love for me.
Yes, O Lord.
Do it this way and you will show love to your brother or sister.
Yes, O Lord.
Do this and you live.
Yes.
And that's what's so great. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 24. Says, therefore I say this, indeed, in union with the Lord I insist on it. Do not live any longer as the pagans live, with their sterile ways of thinking. Their intelligence has been shrouded in darkness, and they are estranged from the life of God.
Yes.
Because of the ignorance in them, which in turn comes from resisting God's will.
Yes, O Lord.
They have lost all feeling, So they have abandoned themselves to sensuality, practicing any kind of impurity, and always greedy for more. But this is not the lesson you learned from the Messiah. If you really listened to him and were instructed about him, then you learn that since what is in Yeshua's truth, what is in Yeshua is truth. Then, so far as your former way of life is concerned, you must strip off your old nature, because your old nature is thoroughly rotted by its deceptive desires. And you must let your spirits and minds keep being renewed and clothe yourself with the new nature created to be godly, which expresses itself in the righteousness and holiness that flow from the truth.
Yes.
Now understand what the truth is. Okay? Psalms 119, 142 says,
amen, amen.
Your righteousness is eternal righteousness, and your Torah is truth.
Yes, O Lord.
So Torah is truth.
Amen.
So you sit there and say, that flow from the truth? That flow from the Torah.
Yes, O God.
Okay. So you have to understand, you have to piece that together a little bit.
Amen.
Okay, so you want to express yourself in Torah. Because that's what righteousness is. That's what truth is. But it says being in unity with God. Well, I just said, you know, if you love God, do the way he tells you to love him. That's being in unity with him. You don't make up some other worship thing. You don't make up some other thing that he doesn't tell us to do, because then you're doing it yourself. You're creating a God you're that's not a God. You're creating a cistern that's supposed to hold water, but it doesn't.
Yes.
You're creating things that are not of God, and you're trying to make them be God.
Amen.
And that's a very slippery slope.
Yes.
Because when you start doing that, you start believing those things, and the next thing you might be saying when the Lord comes back is, Master, Master, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we cast out demons in your name? Didn't we heal the sick in your name? And he's going to say, depart from me, you who do lawlessness or Torahlessness. I never knew you.
Amen.
Okay, that's scary.
Yes.
That is a scary place to be. Thinking you're of him, but he say he never knew you.
Amen.
Man, that would be horrible.
Yes.
I talk about weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Yes.
If the Lord did that to me, I don't know what I'd do.
Yeah.
All right? That would just be the most miserable thing.
Yes.
Okay. And it says they've lost all feeling. Well, why? Because everything's been darkened. Everything's been clouded. Everything's been mixed. We've mixed paganism with things of God and thinking that that's okay. So there's deception. There's darkness in almost everything out there. And we have to learn to separate that. You have good-meaning people out there trying to teach the word of the Lord, and they don't know better. And they're given false words. Some of them do know what they're doing, and that's even worse. Okay? They're going to be judged of God, and we just have to understand that. But you are supposed to be able to weed through it. You're supposed to find what is truth and what is not truth. You're supposed to test everything that is said from behind the pulpit to the things you read in the words to TV shows to anything on the internet. I'm saying anything on the internet. Okay. You have to test and make sure that it's true. So you're supposed to, quote, test everything.
Amen.
Right? You have to. It's your job.
Yes.
Okay. And so that way you can keep your feeling. You can keep your unity. Okay? You're not being estranged from God. You're being part of God. And that's so important. Okay? Now, God gives the punishment, as I read it earlier, that he's going to say, I'm going to put the punishment I was going to give them onto you if you don't kick out these people. So we might not have people within us, so to speak, but we have things in us that we have to get out. And if we don't get them out, then he's going to punish us for not getting them out. Okay? I've already read that to you. But then we also have to understand, if we go to Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 16 through 19, it says, if a malicious witness arises to accuse a person of wrongdoing, then both parties to the dispute shall appear before the Lord, both the priest and the judges who are in office in those days. The judges shall inquire diligently. And if the witness is a false witness,
amen,
and has accused his brother falsely,
yes,
then you shall do to him as he had meant to do to his brother.
Amen.
So the punishment that this false witness was trying to create for this other person should not be given to that person, but should be given to the false witness. The same punishment, whatever that punishment is. That's pretty blunt. Okay? That's what God is saying earlier when he says, I will do unto you what I was going to do unto them. That's the same type of talk. That's the same understanding that we have to bring forward here. Okay? So understand that if we are diligent in kicking out those things that are within us, when we realize it, then we're going to be in trouble. And God's going to say, no, sir, you better get those out. You know, you are being a false witness because I have told you to get those out and you're not doing it. Okay? Because we are called to be witnesses. Not just to here, but to the ends of the earth.
Amen.
Okay, so everywhere you go, every person you come in contact with every day, and you don't even know you'll come in contact with some of them. They'll be watching you from a distance. Your neighbor across the street you may never talk to, but they're watching you.
Yes.
They're seeing how you live. They're seeing how you talk. They're seeing what you say. And so you're always going to be looked at. So what is the witness that you're giving? Oh, I love God, but I'm violating Torah. That doesn't work. That's like a pig. And that's why a pig is used as an unclean animal. Okay, because it chews its cud, which means you're talking right, you're sounding right, you're doing the right thing. But the walk, because the hooves of a pig aren't split hooves, but he puts that right out in front of himself when he lies down, saying, oh, look, my walk's not right. That's the way we do it when we say one thing, I love God and I'm doing everything for God, and then our lifestyle doesn't show it. We're just like a pig in that sense. And so what is our witness? What are we doing? Acts 22:15 says, for you will be witness for him to everyone. To everyone. Again, to everyone. Of what you have seen and heard. Exodus 15 verse 26 says, if you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in his eyes, and give ear to his commandments, and keep his statutes, I will put none of these diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord, your healer.
You are a Lord.
Okay? God tells us if we do what he wants us to do, he won't put these things on us. Okay? He'll leave them on the Egyptians. So in that sense, not just the country, but meaning other people, keep it on them. I don't want them. I'm sorry, I don't want them. I have enough problems. I don't need to add to it by not doing what God wants. Right? At least maybe I'm the only one that way, but I don't want those problems. Okay? And so I try to avoid problems. And one of the best ways for me to avoid problems is do what God says. Okay? So we know, you know, so questions go back to our inheritance. Why would we not do Torah when we know we should? That's a good question, huh? Well, we justify that. And we find justification almost any way we can. And we shouldn't. Because that's our inheritance. We don't want to lose that inheritance. Okay? But we do when we give it up. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him.
Amen.
Colossians 3:10 says, put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator.
Yes, O Lord.
Okay, and we know who that is. All things were made through Yeshua.
Yes.
For Yeshua.
Yes.
All right, all things.
Amen.
Okay. Romans 8:29 says, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers.
Thank you, O God.
I just had to throw that out for Sean.
We don't have time right now to debate that. Now.
Right, we won't debate that right now. But I had to throw that out for Sean. We've had many debates. It's
Amen.
Been really fun. But he foreknew us.
Yes.
And he knew us. And he called us and he chose us.
Yes.
Over 35 times God says in Scripture, I chose you.
Thank you, Lord.
Okay. God chose us.
Yes, man of God.
God loves you and he says, you are mine.
He does.
Okay. How awesome is that?
Oh.
The God of everything saying, you are mine.
Yes, oh Lord.
Wow. Let's honor him. Let's Amen. Love him. Let's show him gratitude for that love he's shown us. Okay? Let's follow his word. Let's make it through the tests. Let's just continue to grow in our knowledge of Torah. Continue to grow in our love of God by doing his Torah and continue to show that new person is being created in us.
Yes.
As we do this.
Amen.
So I will close with this. Torah Man Jr. says,
ow!
God determines who enters your life. It is you and your actions that decide who stays.
Yes. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom.